David Lee, thankful to have a championship, but wanted to go somewhere where he could play more, boost his value for next summer when the big money comes in from the TV money and the cap goes up so he can get another payday, another contract. So that's really why this trade went down.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in. Where's Huddle with me, Bram. With me as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And former basketball scout for the Orlando Magic and current Warriors World contributor, Corey Smith. What's going on, Corey?
It's going well, Bram. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Honestly, I'm a little bit distracted. I literally stepped in what I'm fairly certain is human shit today on my walk to lunch. It really stinks on my side. I haven't had a chance to, like, take a shower, burn my shoes. So if I really stop paying attention to whatever it is, please don't judge me. It's really kind of fucked up my whole day, man.
It happens, man. It happens.
Definitely doesn't happen that often.
It does in the streets of San Francisco.
I mean, apparently, whatever filthy bastard it was who decided to shit on Montgomery, I will never forgive you for this. It is what it is. Let me put us back on track and ask you this, Corey. How does it feel to live in a world where the Golden State Warriors are the world champions?
Well, we're still getting used to it, which is probably the best part about it. It's neat. The basketball champions of the world, the greatest basketball team on the planet. It's not something I've ever said in my lifetime. I know that that's pretty sweet from my seat.
Scotty and I have used the word surreal as many times as we possibly could over the postseason run. Is it? I know you're a little bit younger than me. As a younger fan, did this seem like it was going to happen all year? Did it seem surreal to you? Could you believe it as this thing unfolded?
You know, as you watch them play just offensively and defensively, it was so clear to me that they were the best team all season long. I mean, at no point were they ever, outside of a couple of stretches, maybe a couple of games, ever outmatched by anybody.
Right.
And when push comes to shove, I mean, you just play the numbers, and they got guys that can shoot the ball, and they got guys that can play defense, and the law of averages mean you're going to win four out of seven games every time, and that's what happened.
That's exactly right. Give us a quick reminder. You were nice enough to do this last time you were on the show, but for those who don't remember, what'd you do for Orlando, man? What was your role as a scout?
I actually served as a West Coast scout for the Golden State Warriors specifically. So throughout all of last season, watched every game, attended a couple of dozen, recorded offensive and defensive metrics. So it was familiarity and kind of an interesting transition. As this year came about, I was probably more familiar with them than a lot of other teams.
You undoubtedly knew that they were going to win the championship. You probably bet millions of dollars in Vegas, put everything down.
I quit my job the day after they won, and I actually flew back in here from my chateau.
Yeah, you have that look, like a man of leisure. You're wearing like a captain's hat, which I thought is awesome.
It's the tan, actually. It's the tan. 4th of July weekend.
Right. Well, we're going to use your analytic skills today. What I'm hoping to do is take a look at how the Warriors can improve on their championship roster during the offseason. And ironically enough, I want to start that conversation with other teams. Here's what I mean. There's been a series of moves over the last couple of weeks. Free agency is officially underway. Both the Spurs, the Cavs, and a couple other teams have gotten better. I want to take a look at those teams, discuss what they've added, and then figure out, now that they've added those players, do the Warriors have to worry about them? Do we need to improve to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak? Let's start with San Antonio. Everyone's talking about them. I'm getting super bitter. I can't get over the idea that the Warriors should continue to be the title favorites, even though these giant additions. Here are the additions for those who don't know. LaMarcus Aldridge signed with the Spurs. They have also brought back Manu Ginobili. I think they got rid of Tiago Splitter and then also added David West on a really small deal, something like $1.5 million veteran minimum. In fact, he chose the Spurs over the Warriors and the Pacers. With these moves, how dangerous are the Spurs, gentlemen?
The Spurs are the best team in the Western Conference right now.
Really? Whoa.
They also re-signed Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
So they now have a young core of Leonard and Aldridge, and I promise you that LaMarcus asked Greg Popovich, are you going to leave in a year when Tim Duncan retires? And the only way that he signed a four-year deal,
guaranteed that Pop
is that Pop says no. I'm saying.
Popovich came out and said he's going to coach all the 5 years left whatever he has remaining. So,
and he was kind of teasing that even before they signed LaMarcus, right? That he was going to go on beyond Duncan. And just to finish it out, here's your starting five: Tony Parker, Danny Green, who also re-signed with them, Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Tim Duncan. That is not a bad starting five. Do you not agree, Scotty?
Well, look, I think Aldridge, number one, is kind of a ball stopper. He's a guy who gets the ball in the post and wants to back defenders down, and I don't think that really fits in well with the Spurs offense. I also don't think Aldridge is a very good defender. So if you trade out the defense that Tiago Splitter was giving you, put in the defense that Aldridge is giving you, I'm not really sure that you probably get more offensively than you do from defense Tiago plays. But still, it's not like I wouldn't put them as my favorite.
You got to figure if LaMarcus comes in with the exact same game as he had in Portland, then it's not an immediate upgrade because he likes to get all of, you know, he eats down in the left block. That's where Duncan likes. He hasn't played a whole lot of defense. But you also have to assume Spurs took the fat Frenchman, Boris Diaw, and made him into a championship piece. I mean, this franchise specializes in taking people, you know, sharpening them up, hardening them, making them fit directly into the system and getting better. If they do that with LaMarcus, this is a dangerous team.
There's also a space court or a court spacing issue. LaMarcus has a consistent 17-foot jump shot. So especially when they want to go small, bring in Monty with a three, push Kawhi to the four, and LaMarcus at the five, they can play that. It's not quite a small ball because LaMarcus is 6'11", but they can play up and down. They can play very open court-oriented basketball, which they have excelled in the past.
But I think if there's one thing the free agency has proved, it's you can't just go out and get all-stars and stack your team with talent. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get wins on the back end. I mean, you can go back to the Lakers when they added Payton and Malone. Go back to the Lakers when they added Nash and Dwight Howard. That doesn't mean that you're going to get victories. It still comes down to chemistry.
Does their system mean anything? Because I agree with you. I mean, basketball is a team sport unlike anything else. The cohesion between the players absolutely means something. Symptom means something. Spurs, you know, is different. They've proven something to us over the last 10 years, 15 years. Is that not true for you? I mean, because I'm hearing what you're saying. If they were going to any other team, I wouldn't be as intimidated. But if anyone on earth can make sure that LaMarcus Aldridge's game fits in seamlessly with the pieces they already have there, it's Popovich. Does that not speak to you?
Popovich, I mean, certainly a great coach. I'm not going to downplay the fact that he, you know, definitely the best out there. But you also have to look at this Spurs team in the sense that they lost a lot of depth. That's a great starting five, but how much depth did they have? They lost Bellinelli, they lost Tiago Splitter, they lost Corey Joseph, they lost Aaron Burns. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a lot.
A bunch of losers.
No, that is not a bunch of losers.
Sounded like a big bunch of losers to me. And they also added David West. You're right. I mean, I'm not. That's the other thing that you're seeing all over ESPN, that they're not going to have the same kind of army that they could throw at you before. And before we get too far from it, Corey, your point about how they can play small is what's really intimidating as far as being a Warriors fan. Yeah. Because that's how we consistently beat people and fooled people. And, you know, this is going to be their wrinkle on it. Here's what makes me feel good. And this is an outdated opinion. They are f***ing old. Manu Ginobili is 37 years old. 37. Tim Duncan is 39 years old. I know, and Tony Parker is not only French, but 33. I understand that they've been able to do it. I understand that we've brought up the, you know, Father Time is undefeated so many times that now it seems outdated. I'm not just getting over that. I refuse to believe that these guys can continue to be the same people over and over and over again unless they also signed the keeper of the Fountain of Youth. LaMarcus Aldridge does not concern me in the same way.
I think you do have obviously the core and the big three that have been there for a long time, but LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard were both all NBA players last year. And Kawhi Leonard is a couple years from his prime.
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge is in the middle of his prime. They're not going to be relying on Tony Parker and Monty Ginobili to be scoring 15 or 20 points a game. That's why they went out and got two of the better young players in the league to contribute. And Tim Duncan, by the way, also all NBA last year. Yeah. So.
And amazing in the playoffs and looked almost at his best during the last few games, even that game 7 against the Clips. I'm going to say something that's counterintuitive. I don't think they're going to be above a 4 or 5 seed in the West. Not because they aren't remarkably talented. I don't think Tim Duncan's going to play more than 20 minutes a game. I think that they are going to rest the hell out of these players, make a run for the 8th seed, 7th seed, whatever. They don't care. And then let everybody play a huge rush of minutes towards the end and go for that title.
I think this is great for Golden State because I think the Warriors are a team that often plays best and responds well when they are the underdog. And all of a sudden, they're not considered the title favorites for next year.
Yeah.
People have the Spurs, people have the Cavs, people have the Thunder. I've seen a lot of people talking about the Thunder, and it's just, I'm shaking my head. Like, are the Warriors still not getting any credit?
Well, I mean, they're still sitting number 3 in the Vegas odds for next season. The Cavs, it's a giant question mark because there wasn't Kyrie Irving and there wasn't Kevin Love. And you guys saw Kyrie came out and said healthy, the Cavs would have won that series.
Yeah, shots fired.
San Antonio upgrade. I think both of them moved to their natural spot above. And you know, there's a little bit of a sexy pick when you got new pieces coming in and LeBron played so great and he gets his supporting cast. But it will all play itself out, and I absolutely agree. The Spurs are not going to rush to the one seed, and that does not matter to them.
I want to move to the Cavs. Quick question then on San Antonio. As things stand right now, Scott, they play a seven-game series. Who wins? Warriors, San Antonio?
I think the Warriors win. I think...
In the seven games, six games? What's...
I think five games. I don't think... Attaboy, that Scott. Just adding LaMarcus Aldridge, to me, it's going to come down to chemistry and whether or not he can get along and play in the pop system, and I'm just not sold that can happen yet.
Apparently, stepping in human shit just sucked all the optimism out of me. What's happening here? You're more optimistic than I am? This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Corey, I think we know your answer, but give it to us. A seven-game series, who wins?
Today, the Warriors in May, once Marcus Aldridge fits into that offense, yeah. San Antonio.
Why the hell did we have Corey back? Unbelievable. I am an unabashed homer for the reasons that you just said. Corey, I'm gonna stick with the Warriors certainly now. I do want to see how they ultimately work with one another. I'm going to hold on to the Father Time is undefeated thing, but we'll see how that works out for me. You mentioned playoff odds. The odds to win the championship go Cleveland, which is about 2.5 to 1. That's insanity. So bet a dollar, win 2.5. San Antonio is 4 to 1. Bet a dollar, win 4. Golden State Warriors are 6.5 to 1. Let's move to the top of the list, the Cavs. Not a whole lot of additions. They signed Mo Williams, an old hand for them. It'll be new to this team. Re-signed their old guys. They got back Kevin Love. Kyrie's healthy now. How dangerous are they? Are you guys afraid of them at all?
They haven't re-signed J.R. Smith, which I don't know. I can never figure out if that's a plus or a minus. But I will say that the Cavs, I think one reason they get favored so highly is because they're still playing in the East.
Yeah.
And that's still a much easier path to the finals.
It's like a free pass.
Yeah, sure. So that means a ton if you know that you're not going to have to. I don't think the East got much stronger in this free agency period yet. So I do think that the Cavs get back to the finals. And then when you got LeBron on your team, you just never know what could happen.
That's what terrifies the shit out of me. I mean, the one thing we learned 100% during the finals is just how good LeBron James was. There was a period of time I was afraid that LeBron on his own was going to unhinge the best Golden State Warriors team I have ever watched play. Add some extra motivation. Now he's lost in Cleveland and, you know, needs to come back and get the first title there. And the added talent. Kevin Love's a very good player. So is Kyrie Irving. Mo Williams was an all-star while they were there. This could be a really, really difficult team to beat. My money is still on the Warriors, but it's something that concerns me. How about you, Corey?
Yeah, I definitely think that the Love signing and re-signing obviously plays a big role into this. They got pieces. They had pieces last year. They were an incomplete team. I mean, throughout the duration of the season, they slowly improved. They got better. They got better. They got better. But they did wear out. And I think that they're certainly the favorites coming out of the East right now. I still think there's a gelling. And I would not downplay LeBron's role with David Blatt. I mean, that looked weird during the playoffs. I mean, I remember, I think it was the game against Boston where they run a play at the end and he designs it up and LeBron goes, no, this is my ball.
And he erases immediately the board and draws something else up.
And I'm not saying LeBron shouldn't have the right to do that because he is LeBron James, but we talked about cohesion with the San Antonio Spurs and we talked about cohesion with the Golden State Warriors. Do they have that?
Yeah, I guess that's the biggest question mark for the Cavs offseason is Blatt the coach next year still?
It sounds like they will be. And also, let me say how both disappointed and impressed I was with that last answer. Corey, for those of you who couldn't see, was checking his phone as I threw the answer to him. I thought for sure I was going to catch you off guard. I thought maybe a couple fragmented sentences, maybe you wouldn't be able to organize the thoughts. Not at all, man. You handled it kind of calmly and coolly. Nicely done. Let me reset it with a familiar question. If the Cavs were full strength in the finals, and Scott and I have already argued this out, Corey, who wins that series?
Golden State, probably more handily than they did actually, because a full strength Cleveland Cavaliers team would play more to the Warriors' strength.
Right.
And I don't think the series would have been that close, actually.
And how about today, Scott? Who wins?
I think the Warriors win. Keeping with my optimistic summertime,
we got to get some
sun out, and I'm feeling good.
Any other moves out there? Are there teams that concern you guys? I mean, the Clippers have kind of had some both adds and losses.
They're going to be bad next
Why?
Year.
Do you think that?
Who plays defense on that team?
So were you worried before DeAndre Jordan, for those who weren't paying attention, the additions, they add Lance Stephenson, which I'm really entertained by. I'm hoping that Lance and CP3 have some fight to the death during a practice at some point. They also added Paul Pierce, another guy.
Took my man Paul Pierce from the
so
Wizards.
I'm so happy about You may have forgotten.
I called game Paul Pierce.
Scotty is a filthy Wizards fan. We try to just go through it and ignore it. Sometimes it's harder than other times. But they added those two, and then they lost Matt Barnes and DeAndre Jordan. Before they lost DeAndre, were you guys worried about them? When they added Lance and they added Paul Pierce, did they rank as a contender then?
You need to be able to play, obviously, in the half court in both sides when it comes to the playoffs. And with DeAndre Jordan, it is a clog in the middle, and it does breed that half court game.
Yep.
They don't have anybody to protect the paint. I mean, they have nobody that will protect the paint, and they don't have anybody that keeps people in front
away
from
the Spencer basket. Hawes is a...
When the Warriors went small, it wasn't a big deal because they never let anybody get to the rim because they switched everything.
Sure, yeah.
The Clippers don't have that luxury.
No, that's absolutely right.
They're not going to... I mean, Wesley Johnson signed there, too. It's like, I mean, they're working their way up towards crap, but...
Yeah. I think that their defense is in serious trouble because they also lost Matt Barnes, who was one of their better defenders and kind of actually a guy who had a spine to him and wouldn't like sulk after every play.
And met his destiny. If anyone was ever meant to go play for Memphis in the grit and grind system, it was Matt, I will punch you in the face for no reason, Barnes. I mean, that makes absolute sense. It will be fun watching that Clipper team. Yeah. I mean, you got to figure their fights are going to go up. I don't know why. I have no real objectionable reason to throw that out there, but they are a team that now has my attention, if not my respect, and hopefully they won't.
What about the Mavs? I don't think the Mavs... So the Mavs got DeAndre Jordan.
Yep.
They lost Monte Ellis.
And added Wesley Matthews.
Yeah.
How good is DeAndre? DeAndre left saying, I want to be the man. I want to be, you know, the top-tier center in the NBA. My perspective, that's delusional. This guy is an elite defensive center, but his only offensive move was flushing lobs that CP3 put up there for him. He didn't have any moves on the block. In fact, he was a liability. If you gave him the ball, it's possible he's going to be two missed free throws and the ball's going the other way. Do you believe in him as an elite player?
No, and what's more, I don't think anybody on Dallas offensively can bring a double team over to get him those lob opportunities.
Right.
He'll get some spacing because Dirk is the four, shoots the three, where Blake Griffin didn't. But his points are always going to be coming off of offensive rebounds. And if teams are smart, they'll just foul him anyway.
How good is Wesley Matthews? I remember him being fairly solid in Portland, but he was one of those dudes, like, unless he was playing for my fantasy team, I didn't really give a about watching him go through. What are we expecting from him?
I mean, he got a big injury last year, so I don't know what to expect. You never know a guy, even just mentally, how strong he's going to be coming off an injury like that.
Sure. So none of these guys really rank as contenders, right? You're going into next year. We've already named the top three. Is there any other team, even dark horse teams, like Milwaukee, who just added Greg Monroe and are seeming kind of entertaining? I mean, is there anyone out there who kind of strikes your guys' interest?
If Billy Donovan works that Oklahoma City offense and they can get Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant to be flowing offensively and Steven Adams proves to be a defensive presence along with Serge Ibaka, they can be pretty good. Why would we discount Houston?
That's a good
question. They didn't go out and make any giant moves, but they got Harden, they got Howard, they picked up Sam Decker.
They might lose Josh Smith, which should mean nothing, but he was a pretty high usage guy for them during the playoffs. I mean, he played a very large role in them beating the Clippers.
Josh Smith was the MVP of the Warriors-Houston series.
Oh,
by
no
the
question.
Way.
Most
important player in that series for the Warriors.
Absolutely right.
Not going to hurt him.
I don't view Houston as a title contender, probably just from selfish, self-centered reasons. Because we dispatched them so easily during the playoffs last year, it's easy to look right by them again this year. But there's no real foundation for that. They're a well-coached team. James Harden is an absolute superstar. And when push comes to shove, Dwight Howard tends to step up. And they'll get Patrick Beverley back.
Yeah.
But I don't see them... I don't know. I don't have an objective reason to tell you why I don't believe in them, but I don't. Something just feels off in the spider sense look at them.
They shoot too many threes. Don't play enough defense.
Yeah, f*** them.
Yeah.
So, last call. Any other teams? Are those the people we got?
No, I'd love to start talking about the Warriors free agency.
Yeah.
Only because you want to move on. I want to keep it here, but let's move it on nonetheless. Why don't we start Well, let me put it this way. We've decided at least that San Antonio is a team they have to chase, that Cleveland is a team we have to worry about, and that Houston is a dark horse that's out there. How the hell do the Warriors, if not maintained, literally get better with a championship core? Why don't we start with what they have already done, talk out those moves, and then look at what options still remain on the table. And let's start chronologically. Most recently, just today, in fact, the Warriors finally ended their relationship, their saga with David Lee. We knew that they were going to get rid of him. They've been talking about it for a while. It sounded like they're going to have to give up a big asset to drop his contract. They avoided that. They gave him up for Gerald Crash Wallace to Boston. Really, it's mostly about the money. D. Lee is making $15.5 million next year. Wallace is making $10 million, so it's a $5.5 million reduction. And there's this thing called the stretch provision, which I didn't know shit about. I guess it came up in the last collective bargaining agreement. What it says is that if you are eligible for the stretch provision, which Gerald Wallace is, you take that $10 million, his cap hit, and you can stretch it out over 3 years. So an immediate luxury tax savings and saves Lakeup some money. Also, it's possible Wallace brings something to the table. Probably not. The guy used to be fairly good. 32 years old, 6'7", 220. So he fits that defensive mold. You know, he's that same body type that we kind of want to see, but just didn't do last year. Averaged 9 minutes a game, a little bit less than 1 point. You know, we'll see. I'm not expecting big return on this trade. Let's start with, you guys happy to see it?
Yeah, absolutely. You got a guy that can play defense. He's almost a poor man's Andre Iguodala in a certain sense. I mean, he plays solid defense. He's long and guard multiple positions. He won't play more than 10 minutes a game next year. If he accepts that role, he'll be a positive contributor as a veteran off the bench.
Ryan.
I got to say, I'm sad to see D-League go. We knew it was inevitable, but I like the guy. I thought that he provided some really helpful stuff in the playoffs for this team and overall was just like a really great locker room guy. And I loved his attitude. I think I heard a quote from him somewhere where he just talked about the fact that he's just wants to be remembered like as a winner. Like he doesn't want to go to these teams and just put up empty stats. Like he's fine taking a lesser role if it means he's going to succeed, and I just love that attitude.
I don't believe him. I believe that he said that, and I believe that that's absolutely the right thing to say, and he is such a smart dude, an intelligent person. It doesn't surprise me that he stumbled onto those collection of words. I don't believe the sentiment behind it. I also think that he's happy to see this move. And Corey, let me start here, personality trait, and I'll be honest with you. If I was in David Lee's position, I would welcome the ring. I would love it. I would say all the right things. I would be remarkably happy in the locker room and keep my relationships up with everyone. But inside, I'd be dying. It would drive me crazy that I wasn't playing a larger role. What's your personality type? Would you just be happy to be winning, or would it frustrate you not to be playing a bigger role?
You know, we always used to say back with our players, would you rather be the best player on a bad team or an average player on a great team?
Yeah, all right.
And so I think that's kind of the root of it. I do believe that David Lee would rather be an average player on a great team.
There you go.
Personally, I'm actually in that same boat because team success has to trump all else. He wouldn't be a competitor and he wouldn't be where he is if he wasn't pissed sitting at the end of that bench every single night watching everybody else celebrate. But he sucked it up and he high-fived guys when they were coming off the court and he did everything that he was supposed to do.
Do you think it got awkward between Draymond and David Lee at all?
Yes. Yes. There's no... I don't think that was ever demonstrably awkward. I don't think that like they would have like awkward conversations or fight in practice or anything like that. But there is no way that that elephant wasn't in every single room that they ever occupied together.
Yeah, and that's just... And it's weird because, I mean, it's no fault to Draymond Green. It was Steve Kerr's decision. So he shouldn't feel bad about it, but he can't help but feel a little bad about the way it went down.
I think just human nature with the money he was making. This guy came over, was first seen as the face of the franchise, not face of the franchise, but one of the people to help turn it all the way around. He was Lakeup's boy. He was the highest paid player. He was our first all-star in years and since Latrell Sprewell. I mean, he was our almost chosen son. He was best friends with Steph. They're tweeting back and forth. They've got this great relationship. Then they finally win. 67 wins, a run through the championship, everything that they'd ever wanted together, except for one thing, he's not playing. You know, when they're going out to dinner afterwards and they're talking about who did what, there's no one talking about what the f*** David Lee did. When they're looking back at all the great moments of the season, no one's saying, hey, remember when Lee had that putback? That shit's not happening. There's no way that doesn't frustrate him. I refuse to believe that he can separate himself from that.
What the hell is he going to say? They won. Yeah. And they were winning all season long. You're going to be a guy that's bitching about the coach
when you're dominating every team you play?
Right. I mean, I would almost, the most aggressive I would get would be over-the-top celebration. You know, like they have a good play, and I'm standing up clapping hell of loud, like almost like a, well, this is all I can do now, so I guess I'll participate hard.
Like the guy who then pays for the whole team to go to Vegas.
100% right. That is exactly what I'm saying. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, good for him. I think it works out for both teams. I'm sure he will play really well in Boston. You guys think the prospects there look good for him?
Yeah, I do. I think he'll get a lot of playing time and will probably do pretty well. I think he still has a lot of productive days left.
Yeah, I think he fits great in Brad Stevens' system. Brad Stevens is a college coach. David Lee, big man, can shoot, can get to the basket. He'll be put in positions to succeed with Brad Stevens, and I would see him as a guy that could average over 15 points a game next season.
I'm very surprised he didn't play for Butler. You and I were joking about this before the mics turned hot. You know, kind of a slightly unathletic white dude who can do what the hell the coach asked him to do. He fits in perfect with that system.
Yep.
I'll also say, in a really kind of oversimplified analysis, D. Lee was almost is a microcosm of the Warriors' resurgence. He starts off as a high numbers guy and team, becomes an all-star in a mediocre team, and then ultimately a bench guy for a championship team. I mean, we watched the teams rise through his playing time, which was phenomenal. Next major move, this was the first move they made, wasn't a surprise, but was good to see. They signed Draymond Green to a contract. I got it here, 5 years, $85 million. Good deal?
It was a deal that they were going to have to sign based on what Draymond wanted. I mean, he was going to sign the largest max contract, and the Warriors were going to match it.
Yeah.
So the Warriors were completely locked by it. He knew it. The Warriors knew it. Everybody knew it.
Was that mentality the right mentality? Whatever the hell he gets, match it.
Yes.
Why?
Because his ability defensively to allow you to switch, play multiple positions, and his ability to hit the three ball offensively. Plus at his age, he's the toughness. I mean, he was the heartbeat of the team. You're not letting that go. He's the third most important player behind Clay and Steph.
Yeah, I'm not sold on him necessarily being some type of even an all-star player, but he is something that is so important to this team and chemistry-wise. I mean, we've talked about it a ton. This was just a move that they had to make, and they were going to make it. I mean, he didn't even take meetings elsewhere. Right. Like, he didn't even kind of play the game a little bit.
Did you see your boy Isaiah Thomas said that if he had come to Detroit, he was never going to leave? That they had some meeting or some presentation that was just going to knock his socks off. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's interesting to note. You know what struck me, and this is analytical, which fits right within my entire role in this show, is the friendship between he and Curry. You need this guy for the toughness. You need him for all the reasons that we've already talked about, and he was a shining jewel in the Warriors championship crown. But he was also remarkably close to Steph. And in 2 years, when they're going back to Steph and re-signing him at $85 billion a year, they're going to want to be able to tell him, we have done everything to keep things going in the right direction and to keep you happy. With the friendship that they have, I think it would have been a real nasty blow if they had lost Draymond. I just do. You know, and I haven't seen that somewhere, but I can see that playing a role, you know?
Well, I remember you talking a while back about Steph's relationship with Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
And how he said, do not get rid of him.
Yeah.
And the Warriors said, sorry, Steph.
That's exactly right.
And the Klay Thompson deal was kind of a similar situation. And you keep your superstars happy. You also keep the best talent at home. And I think all those guys enjoy living and playing together. Right. They're all young. It was a necessity.
There's something that's really cool about knowing that these guys are going to grow with one another.
Yeah,
I mean, like watching them kind of coalesce now and then see where the hell it goes and getting it on the ground floor. I mean, hopefully this will be like a dynasty. We'll find out. There's opposition, but they're good.
You remember the Kobe tweet during game 3 of the NBA Finals when he said that the Cavaliers looked like a team that was hungry and the Warriors looked like their team that was making their first championship appearance over the next decade?
Sure, right.
It's true.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. Last take on Draymond. The money that's happened since kind of justify the money he got. Reggie Jackson in Detroit, 5 years, $80 million.
DeAndre, that just kills me, by the way.
I was happy to see it. Marc Gasol, 5 years, $110 million. DeAndre Jordan, 4 years, $80 million. I mean, obviously, these are different players, but the money that Draymond got isn't insane. And when the collective bargaining agreement changes to reflect this huge new TV money, this won't even seem like a max deal. So I think it was a real good move.
Yeah, this is a time in life where I'm just like, why wasn't I born like 6'9", with like crazy hops and a good shot? Because God, this is just so much money being thrown out there. This is crazy.
Is this the first time you've had that self-searching questioning?
No, every free agency, period. I'm just like, God damn, this is a lot of money.
I don't have the answer for you, Scotty. I'm sorry. Last moves, none of them are real earth-shattering. They re-signed Leandro Barbosa. They re-signed Maurici Spates. And in a shock to absolutely no one, Brandon Rush opted back in. Are there other moves on the table that you guys can think of? What can the Warriors do to get better here?
They need shooting off the bench. They don't have enough guys that can stretch the floor with the second unit. They got Livingston, who can get buckets around the basket. They got Barbosa, who's an okay shooter but gets to the rim.
So who does that mean? Who are you thinking?
Well, I know a name that you were throwing out there earlier. Ray Allen is available, but I mean, it's kind of dry at this point.
I kind of like the Ray Allen thing, though.
Really? He didn't even play last year.
No, he didn't play at all. But, I mean, you know, he's been a corpse who can shoot threes for at least 2 years now. I mean, we don't need him to run around a whole lot.
And if there's one guy, I mean, you've heard about his OCD tendencies. So if there's one guy who just stayed in the gym all last year, continuing to take shots because that's just what he's programmed to do, it was Ray Allen.
And if there's any easier basketball humor than using the phrase Jesus Shuttlesworth as many times as you possibly can while he's playing, I don't know what it is. So just for podcasting purposes, I really like to see him. They were using Marco Bellinelli. He signed with the Kings now, which is such a Kingsy signing. I mean, people were throwing around Bellinelli like we'd never heard of him. The Warriors drafted Bellinelli, and outside of a single summer league game, he was a gigantic loser. So I am fine with him not coming back.
Yeah, I mean, they could re-sign Justin Holiday, is still needing to be locked up. I mean, maybe he can develop the three. Maybe you just need Livingston to
J.R. Smith?
Develop.
How about J.R. Smith?
No.
Why not?
He would never take the mid-level exception anyway.
Even if nobody gives him anything? If we make it through these next couple weeks, there's no offers on the table, the Warriors offer him a shot at a ring and what they were going to give David West.
Nope.
And there are some teams, historically speaking, that have been able to rein in crazy people. I mean, Phil Jackson did it with Dennis Rodman. Yeah. I don't think Steve Kerr is at the level of respect. J.R. Smith has a level of respect for Steve Kerr yet where he could come here and be under control.
It is possible that someone like Bogut could punk him. I doubt it. I think you're right. I mean, I think you're 100% right. Maybe even Draymond, although he's not quite old enough. How about the other side of the ball? If J.R. Smith did join us, you hear that you don't need two crazy people in the locker room. If they have someone else to match up with and can go out with, then they'll go absolutely bad and destroy the locker room culture. Is there anyone on the Warriors? Does he have a crazy Lego piece that he could fit up with?
Draymond after the parade.
During the parade.
Yeah.
All right. So Draymond, Hennessy, and J.R. Smith. But anyone else we wouldn't have to worry about. All right. So I guess that leaves as is. I don't think there's a whole lot of moves they can make. I do believe they're contenders. Vegas obviously agrees with us.
Yep.
But this team is what it is, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, why would you really touch the core of this team or even the periphery of this team? Like, they won the championship. Give them another shot to defend the title.
Why break it if it's not fake? Or why fix it if it's not broke? We did forget one last thing, the drafty. The Warriors did end up with the 30th pick in the draft. They got what I think is lucky, Kevon Looney, a 19-year-old freshman out of UCLA, led the nation in double-doubles for freshmen. 6'7 guy, 220, kind of a young kid. Seems like he can shoot.
6'7, but a 7'3 wingspan.
There you go. And it really shows where the Warriors are. It's a flyer that we don't need to succeed. If he does, great. You know, if he doesn't, ends up a D-League guy, who cares? But we haven't been able to have that kind of loose approach to a draft pick for a real long time. So,
I think he was a great flyer because he was actually predicted to be in the teens or the 20s, but he's got a hip injury that might require surgery. He could potentially be out for all of next season. And so, you know, he dropped way down. So why not take a flyer on him?
Yeah, absolutely right. We won't do standings prediction, but I do want a win prediction. We'll get a lot more specific when we get closer to the season. But as things stand right now, how many wins do the Warriors have next year?
68.
Holy shit.
A little less than that. 59.
Yeah, a little less than that. I'll go even less than that. I say 55, and then we'll see where they end in the playoffs. All right, brand new segment. Here's how we're going to do it. I've been really frustrated by the amount of bandwagon fans we see out on the street. I cannot drive anywhere, walk anywhere, shop anywhere without seeing 1,000 people in Warrior shirts. And at least in my biased perspective, none of them know shit about the Warriors. They've all just jumped on in the last 20 seconds. So we've come up with a game to prove my theory. Our intern and our audio video guy was nice enough to go out to the parade and not only meet people, figure out their biological background, where they're from, how old they are, stuff like that, but then also throw them true, false, various questions about the Warriors. So, Corey, here's what I want to do. We will first hear who the people are, find out a little bit about them personally. Then Scott's going to play us the question, not the answer. I bet you that I can guess what their answers are better than you can. And in fact, we can have first person to reach five correct answers will be the go-to. Make sense?
You're on.
All right. I got the state of California and its infinite wisdom will not allow us to bet money. So let's call it 100 beans says I can beat you in this game.
There we go.
Bet.
All right. So here we go. Our boy Sumit kicked us off here and he recorded some great questions with different people. I'll give you the first one here.
Name is Brandon. I'm 23. I'm from Hayward.
Sorry, I just got to pause here because this guy sounds remarkably like Draymond Green. It is uncanny. Listen for it. So here's Subit. He's going to go into the first question.
All we got on his background was his name is Brandon. He's 23 and he's from Hayward.
That's all you got to work with on this one. Talk to your boy Sumit about it.
I mean, Jesus, Sumit, give me something more than that. Have you seen the video? Can you give us anything else about it? What was this guy wearing?
He had a Warriors jersey on.
Do you remember what jersey? Yeah, no. Old school, new?
It was a like black slate jersey.
Perfect.
All right, so Brandon, the next three questions will be true or false. All right. So was Kent Bazemore ever part of the Warriors?
All right, I'll take this one first. Brandon from Hayward, I mean, we have all this information about him, so I can very obviously get deep into slate jersey. This guy's at the parade, sound a little bit too fired up to do it. I'm going to say he will say false. Do you agree?
No, I mean, Bazemore's not that long ago in the Warriors' lineage, and Bazemoring is popular, so I think he gets this.
True.
God damn it.
Nailed it.
Brandon, you lose it. All right, well, it is what it is. That's one. All right, Corey's got one. I've got zero.
I think let's play to seven.
Okay, that's fun.
Was Mark Jackson ever head coach of the Warriors?
You can go first on this one because I took the last one.
I'm going to go ahead and assume if he knows who Kent Bazemore is, he'll know who Mark Jackson is. So I will say yes.
I got to follow that exact same logic. We won't have a separation on this one.
True.
Boom.
Was Derek Fisher ever a Warrior? True or false?
All right. This one's on me. Scott, do you know the answer to that?
Yeah.
Just making sure. I mean, you're a Detroit fan. I mean, who knows where you're coming from? He's already screwed me on Kent Bazemore, but there's no way this guy knows that Derek Fisher was a Warrior. I say he doesn't know it.
You know, I remember a day when Derek Fisher was the big free agent signing for the Golden State Warriors. So this guy was a fan back in the day. I'm going to say he remembers that fateful day in the
come on, Brandon,
10 years
don't
ago.
Screw me. Don't screw me.
True. Derek Fisher was a Warrior right before the We Believe thing back in 2004 and 2005. And that's back when the Warriors had the navy blue and orange uniforms and my man Thunder was the mascot. Forget you, Oklahoma City, taking our mascot like that. That's messed up.
I feel like, Scott, you set me up. You didn't want to have that be the first question? I mean, if he had given us all that explanation, I would have definitely knew that he knew all the rest of the stuff. Also, Sumit, pick people who don't know information, guy. I mean, what's going on with the same?
Was that not Draymond Green, though? Tell me that wasn't Draymond Green.
You can't get over the Draymond Green.
Draymond Green probably doesn't remember that Derek Fisher was a Warrior.
And he doesn't remember anything from the parade. Yeah. This guy is way too sober. All right, that puts it 2-1 Corey of memory, sir.
All right, here we go with the next person here.
All right, so I'm here with
Flo.
Flo, where are you from, man?
From San Jose.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
All right, and what do you do?
I'm a manager at a gym.
How long have you been following the Warriors for?
Yeah, I've been since the 90s, since Chris Mullin, Tim Hardaway, and all them are on there.
All right.
Good background.
Yep. So, you know, Sumit got you a little more there.
Sound a little canned. Yeah. Sound a little canned. He didn't sound like the type of dude who'd give an interview on the street. I wonder how the hell Sumit got this guy to buy
this.
This
was a surprise pull for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Here's the question.
So, true or false, did the Warriors ever spend one season in San Jose?
Even with him living in San Jose, it was obviously when the Coliseum was getting remodeled. I don't think he remembers that, so I'm going to say no.
I got to catch up with you, so I'm going out on a limb. Come on, San Jose guy. I'm going yes.
I think they did.
Boom!
True.
Woo! All right, that one was correct.
All right, we're back. We're back even, I believe. Yeah.
Was Vince Carter ever on the Golden State Warriors?
This one's on me. If my guy knew San Jose, although I will say, I think he got lucky on that. The I think he did wasn't the kind of assertive yes, but nonetheless, if he knew that, he knew this one.
I'm going to say that he says no, but I will say that Vince did spend all of about 15 minutes on the Golden State Warriors, so. I'll say his answer is false, no, but it certainly got a little bit of an asterisk next to this.
Vince Carter, no, I don't think so.
That was correct.
Come on, guy. Knows all about San Jose and doesn't know this. What's our score, Scotty?
I have no idea.
I think it's 3-2. Does that sound about right? Yeah. If that's wrong, anyone who's listening thinks we are remarkably stupid that we couldn't count to five. Well, then my back is against the wall with 100 beans on the line. What's our next question?
All right, today I'm here with
Scott Anderson.
So, Scott, how old are you?
56.
56. So where are you from?
San Jose, California.
San Jose. So you've been a fan for the Warriors a long time?
Yeah, I went to Rick Barry's basketball camp in 75, the last time they won the championship. And I've been waiting for this day since then.
Who was the starting point guard before Stephen Curry came here?
No way this guy knows that. No way.
Why?
I just think there's no way he knows it.
He went to Rick Barry's basketball camp.
I think he knows it, but he is so eager to talk. He is so fired up. The guy who wouldn't even allow him to ask what his name is, he threw out Scott Anderson so fast, he's going to answer too fast, and he's going to get it wrong.
I'm going to trust Scotty. He's been a Warriors fan since since the mid-70s. He is going to remember.
Oh, with the whole game on the line. Don't screw me, Scott.
Tim Hardaway.
Boom. I mean, Tim Hardaway was the point guard at some point before Steph Curry, but I feel real solid. Oh, we're going to the seventh point here. It all comes down to one question. I'm getting excited now, Scotty. What's our next one up?
All right, so I'm here with
Tyresha and Tyrica.
Where are you guys from?
East Palo Alto.
Do you guys know when the last time the Warriors won a championship before this?
Hell no. 100% no.
Not a chance.
Either of them? Are we just going blank? Both of them, no?
Yeah, both of them are no. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
So this will be a push?
Also, it kind of bothered me that they spoke in tandem. Did they practice that? How did they know when to immediately start speaking at the same time?
No, that was great. That was great.
1970-something? Five or something?
Oh!
Yeah. 40 years. Yeah, 40 years.
Good for you. Yeah. They didn't say it in tandem, though, so they don't get the credit. Well, thank God we both missed that one.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'm here with
Lisa,
Chains,
Jason.
So where are you guys from?
From all over the Bay, man. I ain't lived all over.
Pittsburgh, man.
Man, hey, I'm from Richmond, Berkeley, Oakland, man. I'm just from the Bay, man. Right. Straight up, man. Right.
I'm visiting, but I'm originally from around this area too. I'm visiting from West Palm Beach.
Warriors, Dub Nation, let's go, right. Champions, right. Baby. Woo!
How long you been a Warriors fan?
Oh, man, since Jordan retired, straight up. Jordan was done, I'm a Warrior fan. Everybody was a Jordan fan, you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you one question. What college did Stephen Curry go to?
Hell no. There is, I hook, line, and sinker absolutely think this guy will not know Davidson.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I think that he does.
Oh, it all comes down to this.
Say yes.
All right, here we go.
Davidson.
Oh! Yeah! This guy knew Davidson? Unbelievable. You're a man of the people, Corey. I'm very impressed.
He's been all over, you know.
He sure has. Well, I owe you 100 beans. Nicely played. I was really, really hoping to somehow cheat. I was going to listen to these questions before, but Scott's a much better man than both of us, so he wouldn't allow it to happen. Well, huge fun, Corey. We really appreciate you rejoining us today. I don't appreciate you beating my ass in that game, but everything else was absolutely a pleasure.
Yeah, it's all part of the celebration party that goes. Well, I guess Summer League started now, so actually the season's already going. On to the next one.
Back to the grind.
We got to get the hell back out to Vegas. Anyways, huge fun, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We love doing this. Certainly true this week. Please remember, you want to reach out to us, you can find us on our Gmail account, WarriorsHuddle@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. At Warriors Huddle. Our website remains warriorsworld.net, and we're on a series of podcasting services, including iTunes. Corey, where can we find you?
I'm online as well, CoreySmith_17. Anywhere where the basketball is dropping, I'll be there.
There you go. Go Warriors, and remember, Steph went to Davidson. Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love to follow me in a bird? Could you love me on a bus? I'll ask 21 questions, and they all about us. Could you love me in a Bentley? Could you love me on a bus? I'll ask 21 questions, and they all about us. Good.